we don't have any inflation to control. They are trying to stimulate the economy, but it's a bit like a patient on chemotherapy. You reach a stage where more medicine doesn't do anything. I mean, if you saw a house that you wanted to buy and it was a bargain, would a 0.25% in the rate make a difference? No, of course not. What it will be good for, it's very good for shares, because the more that rates drop, the more attractive shares look. You can buy the index. Anyone can buy the index. It can't go broke. For the last 40 years, it's averaged 9% per annum, which is round about 4.5% income and 4.5% growth. You can buy the index today and you'll get 4.5 franked. Now, that's worth about 6.5%. And that's the sort of thing people should be looking at.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
What do we do when interest rates get low? They have been low around the world, and Australia's now catching up with them, with the Reserve Bank governor passing two interest rate cuts in June and now again in July. I've turned to a well-known expert in Australia, Noel Whittaker. He's regarded as the Wizard of Oz. He's had 25 years or more as a financial commentator and is known for his wit and wisdom. And Noel's going to share with us some tips of what to do when interest rates are low, and also some words of wisdom about what we should be looking at with regard to our investments, how we store our investments, what vehicles we have our investments in, and whether that's the best place for them, especially when one of the partners pass away, and then looking at singles and the best way to pass on investments to the next generation. Nothing ever stays the same, that's for sure. So we are better off having an idea of what will happen to our investments, our estate, and how they will be treated tax-wise. You may be up for capital gains tax or death duties. And if you want to make sure that your spouse or your beneficiaries get the most out of your estate and minimise what the government and the taxation department receive, then pay attention to Noel's tips today. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. And today my special guest is Noel Whittaker, Australia's most well-known financial commentator. How are you, Noel?
Yeah, good, thanks, Dan. Great to be back with you again.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Now, retirees are getting a little bit nervous now because the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, has dropped the interest rates in June and then again in July. So we've had two interest rate cuts in a row. Do they have good reason to be nervous?
Well, I think what we almost know for certain is there are two more cuts to come and rates may end up at 0.5%. That's what most experts think is going to happen.
Two more cuts to come. So what is the Australian government trying to do? Are they trying to control inflation or are they trying to stimulate the country, the economy?
We don't have any inflation to control. They are trying to stimulate the economy, but it's a bit like a patient on chemotherapy. You reach a stage where more medicine doesn't do anything. I mean, if you saw a house that you wanted to buy and it was a bargain, would a 0.25% in the rate make a difference? No, of course not. What it will be good for, it's very good for shares because the more that rates drop, the more attractive shares look. You can buy the index. Anyone can buy the index. It can't go broke. For the last 40 years, it's averaged 9% per annum, which is round about 4.5% income and 4.5% growth. You can buy the index today and you'll get 4.5 franked. Now, that's worth about 6.5%. And that's the sort of thing people should be looking at.
It's all right for the ones that aren't so nervous, I suppose. How many new people are diving into the stock market that aren't usually there?
I think it's a sad fact of life, Anne. If you're 70 and never been in shares, it's a bit late. But I've always said to people, get used to shares early. Because as I said, it's too hard to pick winners, but an index fund is simply a basket of the top shares in the market. And being an index, it can't go broke. It'll certainly fall. I mean, the index fell today by, I think, about 0.25% or something. It might rise tomorrow, it might not. But you can't be in shares if you aren't prepared to stay in for at least 7 years. Shares are not a short-term parking place. But if someone's got a couple of $100,000, they can always put 50,000 in shares. I mean, the good thing about shares is you can invest for small amounts, which you can't do with property.
Do you think the interest rate drop is good for businesses?
Well, the people I talk to, it's got no effect. I mean, people in business are fighting all this red tape. They're fighting superannuation. They're fighting long service leave. They're fighting penalty rates. You know, businesses have far greater things to worry about than the cost of money.
So they won't be making extra profits, I suppose, from the interest rates being down.
No, I mean, I've got a case recently where we always go and have coffee. And the hairdresser next door has closed down because the landlord stuck the rent up too much and they have moved back to home and now they can work from home with no rent. They're the sort of things that face, that business people face in the real world. It's not interest rates.
All right. I know some people will never leave the banks, and a typical example is my 90-year-old mother.
Yep.
There's no way in a bit she's going to take her money out of term deposit with the bank.
Well, she can buy some bank shares if she wanted to.
Oh, that's right. She could.
And also, I had the CEO of Heritage Bank today say more people are likely to leave their partner than leave their bank. I thought that was funny.
Also hard to change your accountant.
Well, it's complex, you know. I think it's a bit like changing your partner. Sometimes the devil you've got's the best one there is. If you're on the age pension, there's things you can do to improve it. I mean, if your income tested, they've just improved the deeming rates, and that makes a little bit of difference. If your asset tested, the deeming rates don't affect you. But there's now some new income stream products. Now, it's a little bit complex. I'm just going to grab a paper here, right? From these lifetime income streams that have been bought since the first of this month, so these are new ones, under Centrelink, they only assess 60% of the purchase price. So if you put $100,000 in there, you straight away get reduced to $60,000 under the assets test. And they also give you better treatment on the income test, which doesn't affect asset tested people. So a person could drop $80,000 of assets just by investing in an annuity, and that would be counted at $120,000.
What sort of annuity is it called again?
It's called a lifetime income stream. So every financial advisor should know what they are. They've been well publicised. Also, a lot of pensioners, if they're asset tested, don't understand that their furniture and cars and things are assessed at garage sale value. A lot of pensioners put them in at replacement value. So no pensioner should have more than $5,000 in furniture and fittings. And the car should be, you know, the cheapest value possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to work that out is go to the dealer and say, how much they'll give you cash? And it won't be very much, I can assure you.
No. No, that's right. All right. Well, thanks for those tips for the pensioner. So what else can they look at? What else can retirees that are looking after their own finances, what else can they look at?
Well, I think the next thing is that most couples leave their assets to each other. Now, the cutoff point for a single pensioner under the assets test, a single is $572,000 and a couple is $860,000. So if you're a couple and your assessable assets are $700,000 and one of you passes on, the other one suddenly has assets of $700,000 and takes them over the cutoff point, and they lose their pension and the health card as well as their partner. So it's very important if you're a pensioner couple to have your will drawn, if it's appropriate, that you leave enough of your assets to other family members or the charity or something else that your partner does not exceed $572,000.
That doesn't include your home?
Your family home, not at all, no.
No.
If it's a non-homeowner, you've got $782,000. But most pensioners I know are, with that much money, are certainly homeowners.
And if it was invested wisely, could that be enough income with the pension to provide a good living?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. And don't forget, as you spend your money, if you're on the pension, as you spend your money, the pension goes up. So every $100,000 you spend, this could be on a trip, travel, on improving your house, gives you another $8,000 of pension. So you're getting an asset-tested pensioner is getting an effective 8% on any money they spend. There's all sorts of options out there.
Yeah, so it sounds like for the average person may not be able to understand this, so you'd need to go and seek a professional advice.
Always, of course, always. And a lot of people have self-managed super funds, and I don't think they need them. And often what happens is that one of the two partners runs the fund. Now, normally a bloke, but not always. And he might get dementia. And they can be in serious trouble if he starts to make wrong decisions. You know, do we really need the hassle of a self-managed super fund anymore?
So what can they do?
They can withdraw tax-free.
Can they?
Because, see, when you die, if you're a couple, when you die, money can go to your spouse tax-free. But when the spouse dies or a single person dies or a widow or widower dies, there's a tax of 17% death duties on the taxable component of the superannuation. So if your taxable component is $400,000 and that goes to a non-dependent, there's $68,000 in death tax.
Wow.
So by taking your money out of super before you die, you avoid the death tax. Now, I've got an enduring power of attorney with instructions, if I'm on my last legs, to whip all the superannuation out.
Right. So it doesn't matter how large it is.
No. All tax-free. But I tell you what, if I die, it's too late, then the taxable component, if it doesn't go to my wife, then will be taxed at 17%.
That's interesting.
Isn't it? Interesting, all right.
So it sounds as though we need to be talking to financial advisors more often.
Yes, we do. And also people should know where the documents are, enduring power of attorney and will. Now, I know in our family we've got enduring powers of attorney. I can't find them.
Oh.
And I needed one urgently for my son, and he's in Los Angeles. It cost $87 in postage to post it out.
Mm-hmm.
International mail is expensive. I just sent a letter to America, a letter, $44, express post. So everyone should know who's got what and where the documents are.
Yes.
And everyone should know who's got the will. where's the will? Now, I've got a file here for wills, but sadly, it doesn't include the powers of attorney. That's my fault because I've been slack.
I'm not sure I could lay my hands on mine straight away either.
Yeah, and now my wife's mother was very, very old, and all she wanted to do was die. She was very old and very sick, and she had an advance health directive that she wasn't to be resuscitated. When she passed out and the ambulance came, they couldn't find the document, and they did resuscitate her. She didn't want. So the advance health directive should be on hand at home all the time.
Yes.
There are all the sort of things that we mean to do and don't get round to. Very easy, you know?
Yeah. All right. So before we finish up then, can we just go over what some top tips are to do or what we should be looking at with the declining interest rates? How are we going to protect our money to last longer?
Well, if you can take a long-term view, you should buy an index fund. But you've got to be prepared to stay in there for 7 years. In other words, as I said, over the last 40 or 50 years, the market has averaged 9% per annum. But it might be up 20% 1 year and down 10% the next year. Yeah. That's the thing. You must be prepared to accept the fact that the long-term return should be about 9%, but the short-term return can be up 20% or down 20%.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember January last year, the market was nice. Then it plunged in the middle. Everyone panicked. Then it sprung back. And now it's at its highest, I think, close to its highest in history. But if you would have panicked and sold out in the middle of last year, you would have lost a lot of money.
Yes, that's right. And if you didn't get back in straight away, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but there's a guy I know, he's got $13 million in his self-managed super fund. He's been in cash since 2008.
Really?
That's cost him $13 million, I reckon, yeah. But if you've got a couple of $100,000, you can put $50,000 in shares and forget about it.
Yeah. And
if you pick an index fund, because most people say, well, I don't know what shares to pick. And I agree, I don't know what shares to pick. So a simple index fund. The two I like is Vanguard, where the ASX code is BAS. That's the top, that's the index as a whole. And there's one run by State Street, and the code is STW, Samuel Tango, W for Whitaker. There you are.
Yeah.
So BAS or STW, they're both low cost index funds.
Yeah.
And they're listed on the stock market.
Yeah.
But you don't go in there unless you're prepared to hang in there.
Yes. But in all investors get old. So when we get to the stage that we don't want to look at our shares every week and
well, buy the index fund, forget about it.
Yes, I'm thinking that.
But also don't forget that most people don't die broke. If you're too conservative before you die, you're depriving your kids of the money and the experience.
Yes.
And the great thing about capital gain assets is that death doesn't trigger capital gains tax. If you've got $500,000 in shares and you die and that goes to your two kids, there's no capital gains tax for them to pay until they sell some. So those things could grow and grow and grow. I mean, every 8 years your share portfolio should double.
Right.
So leave it to your kids and they can hang on to it.
And take the benefit of it, yeah.
Make the benefit. Enjoy the franking credits. We've still got them.
Yes, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
I think that must have been the first federal election that we've just had where a lot of retirees have took notice and started complaining for quite some time.
They were very, very happy. And when the election finished, then they complained about the deeming rates.
Yes, and they've been attended to now too.
Yes, I know. My father always said it's the squeaking wheel that gets the grease. So there you go. I mean, as the population ages, we older people are getting a bigger and bigger voice, don't forget.
Yes, I think that's really important because we do have to do advocacy work. We just can't just sit back and get walked over.
Oh, no. If you recall that Deb Ralston ran the alliance on the franking credits, and they had all the aged people's organisations in that together. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. And it just shows you the power of joining together and the power of the grey people.
Absolutely. That's going to get stronger, Anne.
Yes, we're retiring, but some people say they're getting refired. They're not going to just sit back and do nothing.
Well, everyone I know who retires and does nothing, they seem to get sick and not live very long.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, in January I'm going to be 80. I'm still working as hard as ever because I love it.
That's fantastic.
Well, you've got to do it.
Yes.
Keeps you young, man. Keeps you young.
Well, thanks very much. We've been listening to Noel Whittaker, Australia's leading financial commentator. And if anyone wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about you, Noel, where would they go?
Oh, just go to the website, noelwhittaker.com.au. It's all there.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your insights today.
Thanks, Anne. Anytime. Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.